Peter.
That you're familiar with. But when Kephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of all, "If you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? We are Jews. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified."
ガラテヤ人への手紙2章11節から16節。ところがケパがアンテオケに来たとき、彼に非難すべきことがあったので、私は面と向かって抗議しました。なぜなら彼は、ある人々がヤコブのところから来る前は異邦人と一緒に食事をしていたのに、その人々が来ると割礼派の人々を恐れて、だんだんと異邦人から身を引き離れていったからです。そして他のユダヤ人たちも彼と一緒に本心を偽った行動をとり、バルナバでもその偽りの行動に引き込まれてしまいました。しかし彼らが福音の真理についてまっすぐに歩んでいないのを見て、私は皆の面前でケバにこう言いました。あなたは自分がユダヤ人でありながらユダヤ人のようには生活せず異邦人のように生活していたのですに、どうして異邦人に対してユダヤ人の生活を強いるのですか。私たちは生まれながらのユダヤ人であって異邦人のような罪人ではありません。しかし人は律法の行いによっては義と認められず、ただキリストイエスを信じる信仰によって義と認められるということを知ったからこそ、私たちもキリストイエスを信じたのです。これは律法の行いによってではなく、キリストを信じる信仰によって義と認められるためです。なぜなら律法の行いによって義と認められる者は一人もいないからです。
Good morning again. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for today. Lord, you who has made a way through your Son Jesus Christ to become your children. We thank you so much, Lord, for such an amazing, amazing gift.Eternal life, sons of God, the bride of Christ, a royal priesthood. You, Lord, deserve worship, praise, and adoration. Lord, and we want to know more of you. And as we look through Scripture today, we pray for revelation from your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come.And give us insight, knowledge, understanding, discernment to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians. If you have it on your phone, go ahead and take out your phone. You can tweet, hashtag Galatians. JCCT, I don't tweet. Phil has a Twitter account, so I can't say I'm too old.
I'm not
Oh, you quit Twitter. It's too old. Now you're on that new stuff, huh? Yeah. I don't know what's new though. I'm still stuck on Zynga. No, just kidding. Wow. Zynga, I bet you nobody understands that joke. That's okay. I'm still stuck on AOL chat. Okay, you just told on yourself. But we're looking through Galatians, and you know the central theme of Galatians is the gospel. There were false teachers coming in and presenting a different version of the gospel. And you know, this is something that we as the church, we need to be careful of as well. We need to be aware that there are some people that would come in to distort the gospel of Christ, and they'll do it in whatever way they can. They'll even go through seminary to become priests and teachers and pastors. We see that in the news. Just people with problems in the pulpit. It's not a new thing. It's always been around. And this is what the Galatians church, they were dealing with. And today, the church is probably dealing with it as well. I'm just trying to be biblical here. Watch out. Everything you hear or everything you read on the internet, test it. Amen? Test it with what has already been given to us, the revelation in Scripture, and through the Holy Spirit, test it to see whether it measures up to what has been taught by the apostles, by the prophets, through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Man. Where did I lose you guys, eh? Alright, let's start with something easier. Jesus is amazing. Amen? Alright. Amen. So we're here in Galatians chapter 2. And we talked a little bit last week about Paul needing, or through simple obedience to the Holy Spirit's revelation of coming before the established apostles and getting their fellowship, that's what helped him to not be disqualified. And we saw we talked a little bit about athletes who have been disqualified, right, in the past. Examples of Lance Armstrong, disqualified. You look in the record books, he's not there anymore. Marion Jones, disqualified. You look in the record books, it's not there anymore. Trophies taken away. Gold medals taken away. I could go on and on. I can't go on and on. I'll give you one more though. Reggie Bush, USC, right? Disqualified. Some violations. However, and I want to just point this out and clarify this, when Paul says he didn't want to be disqualified or run the race in vain, he wasn't meaning that he didn't want to lose his salvation. That's not what he was saying. Because just like these other worldly athletes, even though Lance Armstrong is disqualified, Reggie Bush was disqualified, Marion Jones, they're disqualified, no one will question whether they were athletes or not. Everyone will say, yeah, they're great athletes. Except they just didn't win any of those prizes because they cheated. And so Paul isn't saying, if I didn't have fellowship with these fellow apostles, that I would have lost my salvation. I don't think that's what he was saying. There's a distinction between gifts and rewards. And what Paul was saying is he would have lost his rewards if he would have continued the route he was going. Not I would have lost the gift of salvation. Just like athletes. It's not if they cheat, they'll lose the gift of being athletic. It's they'll lose the rewards they gain because of their athleticism. Do you guys see the difference? So in Scripture, the Scripture talks about both. talks about gifts and it talks about rewards. And we need to remember that there are times when the Bible is talking about gifts, stuff we can't earn. And then there's times when he's talking about rewards, stuff that we actually do earn. And there's a difference. You're not just in the kingdom of heaven. Rewards aren't just gifted to you. There are some things through obedience, through mature, through growth, that God will give you. And I believe that's clear in Scripture. However, there are other things that no matter how hard you work for, you can't get. It's just a gift. And it's an equal gift. God's love is a gift. You can't work for that. He just loves you. Just receive that.
Amen.
Just like a good parent's love for you, it won't go away. Right? Good parents? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm not a parent yet, but that's what I'm assuming. A good parent's love for you will not go away, whether you do something bad or you're good all the time. They just love you. They may, get frustrated with you sometimes.
Amen.
Oh, amen there. The other people were good, Wayne, just you. They may get frustrated, disappointed, sad. But they won't stop loving you. They won't stop loving you. And that's how God is. He won't stop loving you. That's good news. Amen. That's a gift. We can't earn that. That's a gift, a free gift from God. Receive that from the Lord. His love for you is from the Lord. However, again, there are gifts and there are rewards. And I'll talk about that as we go through the book of Galatians. He'll begin to talk about rewards. Right now, he wants to establish the gift portion of that. And I want to get into today's scripture reading. So go down with me to verse... Oh, man, guys. Sorry. I almost didn't see the verse on my Bible when I looked down. It was blurry. I might need some bifocals soon. Wow. Yikes. Time flies, huh? Isn't that true, Kenji? Time flies.
You betcha.
You betcha. Next week is Kenji. We're going to celebrate. Kenji, you're turning 90, though, on the 26th. Is that right?
Don't push it. 27.
Sorry. You don't look a day over. Yeah. So on the 27th, everyone call Kenji. Wish him a happy birthday on the 27th. Leave him a good message. But next week, next Sunday, we're going to celebrate that. Please invite your friends. But time flies. And here in verse 11... Paul does something. He mentions something. He does something. And I believe he mentions this part of the story. And he was so bold in confronting Cephas because of the context of everything. In Matthew 18, Jesus gives us a paradigm of how to correct something. And if you're interested, go and read Matthew 18. We're not going to teach on that today. But he gives a paradigm on how to correct somebody. And the way to correct somebody is through... You go to them one-on-one. You don't embarrass them in front of a crowd. If you want to correct somebody in a godly way, you do it personally first. And if that doesn't work, then you have to consult other godly people. Here, though, it seems like Paul doesn't follow that paradigm because he does it in a group setting, it seems like. He confronts Peter in a group setting. And I believe the reason why he does that, and he puts it in this letter, was for specific reasons. It wasn't like to say, look, I'm greater than Peter. And let me throw Peter under the bus and let me put it in this letter so that it's mentioned for all of eternity. I don't think that was his intention. I don't think he had malicious intent in bringing it up and putting it in this letter. The problem was, and the situation was, there were false teachers, and one of their teachings was a matter of what's called justification. And if you look at scripture, this part of scripture, and throughout Galatians, it's talking specifically of a certain word called justification. Are you guys familiar with that term, justification? There's another term in scripture called sanctification. And those are actually two different terms. Although, it's kind of like a dollar bill, you know. You have one side and you have the other side. If you don't have both the sides, you have a counterfeit dollar bill. In our faith in Christ Jesus, there's a side called justification, and then there's a side called sanctification. If you don't have both sides of that, then you have sort of a counterfeit kind of faith. Paul mentioned that, but the first side, it needs to be correct. And so justification means, it's a sort of a legal term, meaning just as if I have never sinned. Justification. To be justified before Christ, justified before God, means legally there is no sin on me. Isn't that wonderful? Through Jesus Christ, we can have justification. Sins past, present, future on your ledger is taken off. And that's a free gift. You can't work that. You can't earn that. That's called justification. And this is what Paul is talking about in this letter. And the important part of that is the false teaching that was being spread around among the churches at that time was justification was through Jesus plus through certain things you have to do that we see in the Old Testament, such as circumcision, following of certain laws. The false teachers came in and said, look, here's scripture. In fact, I'll give you scripture verses where it says, unless you do this, you're not part of God's family. I'm sure they pointed to Genesis 17, 9 through 14. It's a covenant God makes with Abraham and says, this is an everlasting covenant. And the sign of that covenant is through circumcision. And so they have scriptural backing. And along with scriptural backing, at this point, they could have had the apostles backing. Because it says Peter was doing certain things because pressures of the Jews. Certain Jewish traditions he was following. And it says he made other people follow it. And so because of the situation and the context, Paul could not just do it in the corner and say, hey, Peter, even though you may not be teaching circumcision, even though you may not be teaching the Mosaic law, even though you may not be teaching that Jews and Gentiles shouldn't interact with each other, you're actually doing it with your behavior. You're modeling that. And there are false teachers right now saying that you have to do that in order to be saved. That's part of the deal of sanctification. I believe that's why Paul had to confront Peter. Now again, I want to just define justification. because it's so wonderful. It's pretty amazing. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Justification is when Jesus was crucified, is the teaching. Now, Satan doesn't want you to hear this part, because it's really good. Is the teaching, there, yeah, go ahead. We rebuke you, Satan. It's the teaching that when Jesus died on the cross, this is central to the gospel, that he didn't die because of his sins. I know this is Christianity 101, but it's important. But he died because of our sins, because of my sins. But when he did that, and his blood was shed, it fulfilled the sacrificial system that we see in the Old Testament. And that fulfillment brought justification to all who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. So that anybody who puts their faith in Christ now legally stands sinless. Praise God. I should get an amen for that one. I mean, not me, but that teaching itself should get, I agree. Isn't that amazing? I know I'm talking to a lot of good people here today. Maybe you guys don't have a lot of sins you need to be forgiven of. Maybe it's just me that's excited about that. But the idea is this, that every sin that I committed and will commit was on that cross for all eternity.
Amen.
Sins past, present, future, legally taken care of. A debt I cannot pay off, paid in full. I got a lot of debt, but Jesus said it's paid in full.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. That's what justification is. And there was a teaching, and there might be subtle teaching of that in today's church, that you have to earn that. Or that you're not good enough yet for that. Or that you're not ready for that yet. Hey, listen, no one's going to be ready for that. And, you know, for those of you who are out there who believe in Jesus Christ, and you have not been baptized, the ceremonial baptism, I want you to realize that you don't have to be ready. You just have to receive it.
Amen.
You know, because you'll never be ready. You'll never be good enough to receive that gift. That's called justification. That's a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't work your way up to it. You can't look at the law and try to fulfill all those regulations, rules, regulations. That's not what the law was for. We'll see later what the law was for. The law was to reveal righteousness, not to produce righteousness. There's a difference. The law we see in the Old Testament reveals the righteous standard that God has. And it's clear that we can't keep that, because if we were able to keep it, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. It's not there to produce it. What produces righteousness, what produces people that can stand before God sinless, isn't because of our efforts. It's by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And now we have to clarify what faith is later. But know that it's putting our trust in our hearts, in His hand, justifies us as if I have never sinned. Is that good news?
Amen. Good news.
It's kind of hard to believe. I get it. Some of us, we didn't have a good week. I get it. We don't feel justified. I get that. But you are justified. Now, sanctification is something else. We'll talk about that as we go on. But we need to establish justification. If you don't start there, you're starting from the wrong place, and you won't end up in the right place. Now, the nature of sin, the reason why I say it's a gift, and we can't work hard enough for it, is the nature of sin. And I want to talk a little bit about sin, and I'll close it there. But let me talk about sin. Because justification means being without sin. And so what is sin, right? And when we think of sin, what comes to mind? And a lot of us, a list of bad things. And those are attributes of sin. Those are characteristics of sin. But as the saying goes, we're not sinners because we sin. We're not sinners because we sin. Rather, we sin because we're sinners. It's just part of the human nature. It's part of us that every person born, there's that sin nature in us. It's the imperfection of humanity in us, missing the mark. And so, trying to get rid of sin by sinning less will never happen. That's just what's called sin management. Trying to manage it, so that people don't notice. Or it doesn't affect it as many people. Now that's not a bad thing. But that's not what the gospel is offering. That's not what Jesus is offering. He's not trying to be the greatest manager of your sin so that it doesn't look like you're a sinner. What Jesus is offering is something far more radical. It's not sin management, but it's sin eradication. It's the removal of sin so that our nature is transformed. That we are no longer our old nature, but what is called a new creation. We are now a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
And that has happened to us on a spiritual, legal level. And so now we are considered in the legal realm of the Spirit, children of God. Sons of God. Good news. Amen.
Amen.
That in the spiritual realm, if you have put your trust and faith in Jesus, they have to treat you in a different way. You are no longer sinful human. But legally, spiritually, you are considered a royal priesthood. Now, I feel a lot of opposition. So, how about we close our eyes for a moment? Go ahead, close your eyes. We use our imagination for various reasons, and so let's just use our imagination real quick for the kingdom of God. And the scripture says you are a royal priesthood. And just so imagine what that is for a second. A royal priesthood. What is that? Imagine royal guards. Go ahead. Imagine royal guards for a second. perhaps a crown, purple. Priesthood too, so imagine white.That's what Jesus did. He transformed you. Thank you, Jesus. So here, Paul says, if you have your Bible, this is a great verse to memorize.And I'll close with this verse. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ.Who lives through me. I have been crucified with Christ. He's talking about all his death was crucified with Christ. Justification. We'll get into what it means. It is no longer I who live in the following weeks. But know this.That those of us who have put their faith in Jesus Christ have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live. That is what we want to strive for. Let us pray. And with our hearts bowed, I do want to give an invitation for those of you who have neverfully put your trust, faith in Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to do that here. And you may wonder, what does that entail? What do I need to do? And it's very simple. For those of you who may not have put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, just simply ask him.Talk to him as if you were talking to someone who loves you. Talk to him. Just say, Jesus, I want to put my faith in you. Jesus, I want toAsk for forgiveness for my sins and put my faith in you. I want to turn from the way I've been living and put my faith in you. If you've never done that, I invite you and I encourage you to do that, to receive the justification of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy.You, Lord, have made a way for us to be your children. That the Spirit in us calls you Daddy, Papa. Come quickly, Lord.We pray you'll come soon, that you will renew all things, a new heaven and a new earth, where there is no sin, where sin does not rule and reign, but your love rules and reigns. We long for your coming, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.